All right, welcome to Radio Naturopath. We're the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, and this is my co-host, Ron Maniza.
Good morning.
If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, all the same handle, at Fran Storch ND. Easy to remember, right?
Yeah, at Fran Storch.
Right. So before I talk about cocoflavanols for a little bit, I just wanted to remind you why naturopathic medicine is good. Naturopathic medicine is good. Why is that? Because we listen and we care and we take the time to listen to what's going on with you. One of the things that I feel like is different for me and a lot of other kinds of practitioners is that we really do listen. We care about what's going on with the person, and we take the time to figure out what's actually going on. Treat the whole person is a very serious part of naturopathic medicine, and I really do take it seriously. When I get to know you, I create relationships. And one of the important things, especially in New England, is it's not about selling products or having a business. It's about creating relationships. And relationships need to be nurtured over time. So my best clients and my best patients are ones that I have had for a long time and that I get to know over the years. I really enjoy it too when I see whole families, because I can see family dynamics and I can see trends in families. So it's really interesting. But creating relationships, listening to you, listening to your concerns, listening to how your concerns interact with each other is really important. You would think that it would be a very basic thing for a practitioner to offer good customer service, that you walk in, we say hello, we are curious about who you are and how you are, and we care about you as a human. We call you by name. You're not a number. And you're a person that we care about. I mean, if you walked into a store to buy a dress, you would hope that the person there would take care of you and would make a relationship with you and would be nice to you and would want to know what you were doing. And if they didn't treat you that way, you'd go somewhere else. But people stand for, you know, physicians and doctors treating them like getting them in and out the door and not finding out what's really going on with them and really caring about what's going on in people's lives, and also using judgment when people are not quite hitting the mark, when they're doing things that are not so great for their health. You have to understand that people have different situations going on in their lives, that you can't judge, that everybody is different, that everybody is different in how they experience things. Everybody is different in their timeline as to change, and people differ in their understanding. And one of the things that it's upon us to do is find excellent ways to communicate with our patients and clients so that they understand what we're talking about, and also figure out ways, if there's something they don't understand, try to figure out a way to say it to them so that they can understand. And if they can't understand how to implement something in their lives, you have to find alternatives, and you have to find other things that work for them. So I'm a troubleshooter. That's how I am by nature. If you do something in my life, like if you do something that doesn't work for me in my life, if you're just my friend and you do something that doesn't work, I might get upset with you for a little bit, but I'm going to troubleshoot it. I'm not going to sit there and be mad at you forever. I'm going to look at what is the problem, and then I'm going to try to fix it. That's just my nature. That there's no problem that's insurmountable, and even if the problem is that you just have to let go of the problem and walk away from it. So naturopathic medicine, that's what it's all about. It's about caring about people, caring about you, and caring about what is going on specifically for you, and taking the time to listen and to understand and make sure you understand what's going on with your health and your life. Also, if you have a medical test, if you have if you have a lab done, if you have diagnostic imaging done, if you have an x-ray or an ultrasound, we want to be able to explain that to you so you understand that we don't just want to give you tests and then have you go home and not know why you got the test and not know the results of the test. Or for me, it's not even enough to tell someone, all right, you had a hemoglobin A1C test, it's fine. I want you to know what hemoglobin A1C is. I'm going to help to explain to you exactly what a test is in terms that you can understand, as long as you're interested. If you're not interested, and of course I'm not going to do that to you. But if I do a test for you, I'm going to explain what I did, and I'm going to explain why. And if you had a finding, certainly, I'm going to explain what the finding means and if you have to do anything about it and what naturopathic medicine has to offer based on that finding. So all of that is important to do. So I want to remind you that when you go to a naturopathic physician, you really do get good care. You get good help. You get good care. You get a treatment plan. You get a plan that works for you. And you get a coach and you get a troubleshooter, somebody who is going to listen to what's going on for you. If something doesn't work, then we want to change it up for you. Someone you can contact. And you can even, if you have to contact us out of office hours, there are ways to do that. And you don't have to wait till your next visit to figure out how to change course. I mean, I keep my cell phone with me. So, I mean, if I'm on the beach in Florida because I'm visiting mom, I will still get back to you. It's really okay. In fact, it's probably a little bit easier for me to do it then because I'm not in the middle of my workday and I really don't mind. It's not like I get so many of those that it's a problem. But, you know, if you need me and I'm somewhere else, I'll get back to you. It's all right, unless I farmed out my call. And I generally don't farm out my call. So even if I'm going to Virginia this weekend, which I am, you'll be able to get a hold of me. So don't worry about it. All right. So I just wanted to give a good peg for naturopathic medicine. I would like to also say big props and shout outs to the people working very hard to try to get prescriptive authority going on in the state of Connecticut for naturopathic physicians. We've got a wonderful naturopathic physician who's been practicing for many years, Dr. Rick Leva, who is the head of the Connecticut Naturopathic Physicians Association, who has been working very hard with the legislature and with lobbyists to get us prescriptive authority. And if that happens, then I'm thinking a lot more people are going to want to see naturopathic physicians because there's not going to be as much crossover and necessity to go back and forth between practitioners, because we can offer good, basic, practical care. The next step after that, of course, would be to make us primary care physicians. And if we did that, of course, then I'd have a new set of problems because I would need to, you know, hire more naturopaths for my office. Yeah, so there'd be a lot of people hanging out there. All right. So moving on. I wanted to get into the nice stuff that I was going to talk about today. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about chocolate. Why is chocolate good for you? Because we were on an antioxidant tear, so we wanted to go through all of the nice high antioxidant foods, and I went through them pretty specifically. So we're still running through the different berries, but I also wanted to throw in cocoa, because yum, cocoa, right? I had a really nice chocolate bar yesterday that had at least 70% dark chocolate in it, which I do recommend, and it had cocoa nibs inside of it, and that was really good. That was just a basic, it wasn't any other flavors, just a good dark chocolate bar with cocoa nibs in it. Awesome. Really, really good. What's a flavanol? Well, you have to start with flavonoids. Flavonoids are a diverse class of naturally occurring plant-based compounds. They're in a lot of different fruits and vegetables. Flavanols are a distinct group of compounds within the flavonoid family. So flavonoid, that word flav, means colored. So it's a Latin root that means colored. And, you know, colored. So flavonoids generally in fruits and vegetables are colored. So cocoa flavanols are the blend of phytonutrients that are in the cocoa bean, and the only food on earth that has it is cocoa. So cocoa, chocolate, you know, cacao. Cocoa flavanols support the cardiovascular system, that they can help to support your blood vessel health and support healthy circulation, so they can help to bring your blood pressure down. They can help you with varicose veins. They can just help you in general to get circulation into your body. They can help to strengthen your blood vessels. Within a few hours of consuming a product with cocoa flavanols, they start to help to support your circulatory system. There's also other things that cocoa does. Cocoa does help to regulate blood sugar. So if you have more, if raw organic cocoa in your diet, you'll have better blood sugar regulation. It also helps with cravings. So let's remind you of the difference between cravings and hunger. So hunger is the difference between hunger is something that your body desires. When your body wants something to eat because you need nutrition, you feel hungry. Craving, so hunger is felt in your body. Your stomach growls. You feel a little bit depleted. That's when you feel hungry, that you start looking for food. Cravings are in your head. So it's like, when do I get cravings? Let me tell you. So just so you realize, one of the things that naturopathic physicians do, we sit and we talk to you and we take chart notes while you're sitting there. But we can't do all of our chart notes while you're sitting there. We have to finish them after you go. So we kind of have to complete our chart notes when you're not there. So at the end of the day, I have a bunch of work to do. So
yeah, and that's why we never see you. I know.
Whatever.
You come home in the wee hours of the morning sometimes even.
Yeah, all right. So yeah. Anyway, well, on patient care days, sometimes there's a lot of work to be done. Mm-hmm. So, and I like to leave an empty inbox. That's one of my things. So that on days when I don't have patient care, I don't have anything in the inbox. Or if new things are generated, there's only a few of them. Like today, I'm going to go in. I'm going to have some charts to do. I'm going to go to the post office and see if there's anything in the mailbox.
And then you get to do really cool things like fall asleep with your glasses on and your hand on one hand on your phone and the other hand, your finger pointing to the phone, and you're fast asleep. That was like one of the funniest things I've ever seen you do.
Classic.
It was classic. Yes, mm-hmm. It was.
It happens.
But you were fast asleep.
At least I sleep. Sleep is good. I enjoy sleep. Sleep has become more of a challenge now that I'm in the menopause land. But it's still not 100% of a challenge. I definitely slept last night.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping is good. I'm good with that. There's more waking that happens, but I do manage to get back to the sleep most of the time. But now you're going to make me diverge onto another topic.
I'm sorry.
If you're not careful.
I didn't mean to do that.
So let me wrap up with cocoa.
Yeah, finish up with the cocoa because cocoa's good.
Cocoa is good. Yes. Mm. So we were talking about the difference between hunger and cravings.
Right.
So cravings are. So like I said, when I am sitting there doing my charting and doing my labs, that's a time when it's like, oh, I have to do all this work. And I'm sitting there and I have to self-motivate and I have to do chart work and I have to, look at labs and do interpretations and things. And, you know, I've spent a whole day seeing patients, so I'm not real excited to be there. I mean, they didn't tell us. They told us that in naturopathic college that you're going to help a lot of people, and you're going to help a lot of people with natural medicine, and you're going to help a lot of people with something you really believe in. They didn't tell you so much about, well, you're going to have a long day. You're going to have a difficult time staying on time. Some of your patients are going to get annoyed with you if you run over. Some of your patients are just going to get annoyed for various reasons. You're going to have to communicate with people in all different kinds of ways. They didn't tell us, too, that at the end of the day, you're going to have a pile of work like you wouldn't believe. And, there's all kinds of little things that go into running a business in addition to simply being a naturopath. Like, I could just go in, see the patients, and go home when I'm done with the patients. I would be out of there by, 6-7 o'clock tops. But that's not what happens because there's so much other work to do. Maybe someday. I don't know. So anyway, while I'm sitting there, that's when cravings happens because I'm not excited. And it's a time where, yes, I could choose to take a rest or do something else. But the more time I spend resting, the later I get home. So I've done things like, right after patient care is done, I'll go out for a little bit. I'll go out and get a treat. I'll go out and get some coffee or tea or something. Or if I have to go to the store, I'll go then. But invariably, it puts me home later. So I have to be careful how much I do that. One thing to do is to step away from the computer and just take a rest and then get back to it. But again, the amount of time I spend resting puts me in bed. I'm always looking at it. You want me to do that on a Tuesday night? that will put me in bed. Instead of putting me in bed at 10 o'clock, it'll put me in bed at midnight or 12:30. So that's the thing I think about on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday nights. What time is that going to put me in bed? But anyway, that's when the cravings happen, because when I'm in that space, I'm just sitting there. I have to keep working. I have to keep motivated. And eating is an interesting distraction. So I have to be really careful not to overeat. So I may allow myself a couple of squares of dark chocolate. But the craving is not always about hunger. I do get hungry at the end of the day. I do actually physically need a snack, but I have to be careful how much I do snack. And cravings definitely can happen. And, you know, I keep the dark chocolate in my drawer. I'm pretty good about not eating a whole chocolate bar at a sitting or eating a square or two. That's something I've trained myself to do. I know a lot of you are thinking, how do you do that? It's possible to do. You know, I have chocolate bars that last a week or more because I eat one or two squares at a time. So you can do that too. And it's a way that you don't have to say, all right, I'm never eating sugar again. If you eat one or two squares a day, then you're like, all right, I can have a little chocolate and not like ruin my figure or my whatever your goals are. So anyway, cocoa itself helps to reduce cravings. And the higher cocoa content, as long as the cocoa has not been alkalized. Now, when you have raw organic cocoa, it does taste bitter. If it hasn't been sweetened, there's definitely a bitter taste to it. One good thing to do is to accustom yourself to that taste. Things that taste bitter are good for you. One of the things that has happened in our world of very reinforcing, highly processed foods is that we eat foods that have an amazing mouthfeel. So I'll do an admission. Last night I went to the store and now mind you, I'm pretty happy that I don't feel that I have orthorexia. Orthorexia is a condition where you obsessively only eat healthy foods. That is not me. I eat healthy 80-90% of the time, and I also like my treats. So once in a while, I'm going to have a very pedestrian, mundane treat. Well, last night, guess who got her hands on a bag of peanut butter M&Ms? I think of all the flavors of M&Ms, that's my favorite. Not peanut, but peanut butter. The peanut butter M&Ms, yum. Really like them. They're a special treat. I mean, I've tried the raspberry. The raspberry's okay. The mint is okay. See if there's are there any other flavors. I do like the caramel, but I think of all of them, peanut butter M&Ms. And I got into the peanut butter and M&Ms, and I was really made aware of the concept of bliss point because I went there. Oh yeah. So what is bliss point? Bliss point is something in the food industry. It's engineered into foods to make it so that you just want to keep eating one after the other. All right. So those peanut butter and M&Ms, because I do like them so much, they definitely put me there. One of the cool things about so backing up now, Hershey's is very proud of their chocolate. Hershey's is the parent. Oh, I'm sorry. Back up. M&M Mars is who makes M&Ms. So M&Ms is very. That's right.
That's not Hershey's.
No, that's right. Hershey's is a different company. Hershey's mm-hmm. makes, you know, Hershey bars, anything that says Hershey's on it, of course. And they also make Kit Kats and Reese's and a bunch of other common candy bars. And the other one is M&M Mars. So now M&M's, it wasn't enough to just have plain and peanut. Now you have every other flavor of M&M. You have espresso M&M's and you have crunchy M&M's and you have mint M&M's and white chocolate M&M's and espresso. There's coffee nut. The coffee nut, by the way, there's not much of a, I didn't find there was much of a coffee taste to it. They taste like peanut M&M's. But you can even get strawberry M&M's. But, you know, my standard favorites are probably plain and peanut butter. Those are the ones I like the best. Anyway, the bliss point, you hit the bliss point with those because the chocolate in those M&Ms has been alkalized. When you alkalize the chocolate, you add alkali to it. It's on a pH scale, you're talking about the concentration of hydrogen ions as well as the concentration of hydroxide ions, and gives chemicals certain It gives them certain properties. So when you alkalize, the bitter notes are taken out by alkalization. So you add alkali to them, some alkaline sodium hydroxide or some kind of hydroxyl substance to take out those bitter notes. And then it makes the chocolate have a much smoother flavor. Alkalization is also known as Dutch processing. So if you see something has been Dutched or alkalized, that means that the bitter taste has been taken out, but also, unfortunately, in that process, you reduce the amount of flavanols. So we're looking for the cocoa flavanols to help our circulation. You reduce flavanols by Dutching. And so if you're having your standard Hershey bars or M&Ms, that stuff's all alkalized. Now, mind you, the Hershey Company does have is parent company to some brands that have flavanols in them, like your like your Dagobas that's owned by Hershey's, and those have cocoa flavanols in them, or higher quantities. They're not Dutched. If you taste the bitter notes, if you can learn to like cocoa in unsweetened and non-alkalized, that can be really helpful because it can really help you with cravings, and it's good for you. You're going to get the most bang for your buck in terms of circulation. You can purchase toasted cocoa beans that are just whole cocoa beans that you can snack on. It does take some getting used to because they'll taste like chocolate, but they're not sweet. You can also get cocoa nibs, which are those same beans just crushed. And a really cool thing to do with cocoa nibs, or cocoa beans if you can handle it, but definitely cocoa nibs, is to put them in other stuff. One of the things I've been doing is I've been making these yogurt parfaits, and I sprinkle cocoa nibs on the parfaits. And so the parfaits have fruit in them. And so when you taste the cocoa nibs and the fruit together, now you have that sweet chocolatey taste. So there's ways to do that. Also, if you're making a trail mix, you can throw cocoa nibs into the trail mix. And when you're eating the sweet fruits that are in there, that they'll sweeten up when they go in your mouth at the same time as the cocoa, you're going to have a nice cocoa taste along with your trail mix. So if your trail mix doesn't already have cocoa nibs in it, you can throw it in and you can get the benefit of cocoa flavanols, and it will help your blood sugar and it will help your cravings. You might not want to eat so much. And it can be really helpful. I find too, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the Sacha Inchi seeds. Sacha Inchi seeds really do help with my cravings too. And they're really high in fiber and omega-3 fatty acids. They're really helpful. So those are some benefits of cocoa. Yay, cocoa flavanols. All right. So what else do we have? We want to talk to you about blueberries. Blueberries are super yummy. There's great reasons to eat blueberries. First of all, they're really good. They're starting to come in. We'll get local blueberries. Local blueberries aren't ready until around here until pretty much July. We should be getting local strawberries. Local strawberries we're probably not going to see until sometime in June. And then the blueberries not until late June, early July. But blueberries are coming in from other places already. You just want to make sure that they're organic. If you do get non-organic ones, you want to make sure that you use a produce wash or a mild soap and wash them off to get rid of pesticides, because unfortunately they do have to spray them. So blueberries have really nice stuff in them in addition to tasting really, really good. That's my opinion. One of the things they do is they have catechins. So catechins are great flavonoids. Remember, we're talking about flavonoids. They've got those flavonoids as well. And there are fat-burning genes in abdominal fat cells, so they can help you with weight loss. So if you're trying to lose weight, you can add blueberries to your diet. There was a study at Tufts that showed this, that regularly ingesting catechins in general increases fat loss by 77% and doubles your total weight loss. My goodness. So catechins they're in blueberries. They also happen to be in green tea. Green tea, black tea, anything from that plant, you're going to get catechins as well. That may be part of why tea can help with fat loss. They have phytonutrients. They have the proanthocyanidins, just like a lot of other berries. So they're terrific antioxidants. And the neat thing about proanthocyanidins is that they can get into, they're water soluble and fat soluble, and they can get into your brain and protect you against damage and environmental toxins. And they're one of the richest sources of proanthocyanidins. They decrease free radical levels that are linked to aging, so they can help you with wrinkles So wrinkles are interesting. What part of what causes wrinkles? Wrinkles are caused by free radical damage. They're damage to the collagen in your skin. Unfortunately, being exposed to the sun over time will give you more wrinkles because you're getting oxidative damage to your skin, which is why if you're interested in having less wrinkles, it's a good idea to use sunscreen on your face. The other thing that can give you wrinkles is sugar, because sugar attaches itself to the proteins in your skin and will make the proteins more brittle, so they're not as soft and supple, so that can give you the presentation of wrinkles, unfortunately. So that's how that works. So they're really high in proanthocyanidins. Now, there are different blueberries. There are high bush blueberries and there are low bush blueberries. So the high bush blueberries are the ones that come from Europe, and usually the cultivated blueberries around here are high bush blueberries. They don't have as much proanthocyanin in them as the low bush blueberries that are wild and grow in North America. If you look at the ones that grow in North America, they are purple all the way through. And because they're smaller, you wind up eating more skin. And a lot of the proanthocyanin is in the skin. So if you eat, a half a cup of wild blueberries, you're getting more blueberries per cup than if you're eating a high bush blueberry. Therefore, you're eating more skin. Therefore, you're getting more purple stuff and more proanthocyanin. So ultimately, the low bush, locally grown, what we think of as Maine blueberries,
yeah,
they're any wild blueberries that grow in North America. So okay, not the high bush ones. And they grow in Maine, and they grow in Nova Scotia, and they grow in Ontario, and they grow in New Brunswick. And Newfoundland, we used to pick them by the bushel.
So the high bush ones are the
The big
ones.
Fat, juicy ones, the one you buy in the supermarket.
The kind of grocery store style ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. And so that if you look inside them, if you bite into them, they're pale inside. They're sort of a yellowish,
right,
whitish color.
The low
color.
Bush ones are the ones we find out in our woods.
Right. Right. Yes. And they're purple inside.
Yep.
And so you're going to get more proanthocyanin. And like I said, you're going to eat more skin per unit volume, because if you eat a half a cup, the same volume of blueberries is going to have more skin in it.
So eat local.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing.
Hmm.
Right. People who grow them may or may not be growing the high bush blueberries. So most blueberries that I've gotten that are local are they're the high bush kind. And so there were some animal studies that showed that if ones who ate blueberries had less motor skill decline and performed better on memory tests. So it can help with age-related memory loss. So those proanthocyanins getting into your brain, they do really nice free radical recon. It's really good. There's vitamin C, E, riboflavin, niacin, and folate. So it's got a lot of very bioavailable vitamins in them. And there's also ellagic acid. Ellagic acid is also in pomegranates. Ellagic acid is anti-cancer, protects genetic material, and also encourages apoptosis. So apoptosis is when you the killing off of cells that are damaged. So you want to kill off cells that are damaged. So if your cell is just plain damaged, you want it to go away. And any cells that could potentially be cancer cells will get killed off too. So that's a neat thing to do. So ellagic acid does that. And like I said, pomegranates also have ellagic acid in them. And in fact, that's the big reason you take pomegranates, why you eat pomegranates. So they also are high in quercetin, so they can help your allergies. Is there another catechin that they're a mast cell stabilizer, so they help with your allergy symptoms. They also have minerals like iron, magnesium, potassium, and manganese. And they also have salicylic acid, so it's helps with blood thinning and helps with pain. They're great anti-inflammatories, and they help with heat shock proteins. When you reduce heat shock proteins, they help to reduce inflammation and damage in your brain. They also increase dopamine. So dopamine helps. Dopamine makes you feel really good. It's like your reward center by neurotransmitter. And so they help with your dopamine production. So blueberries make you happy. And they taste good. So they're really good. All right. So that's why you should eat blueberries. All right, let's find another berry that's good for you. How about a raspberry? I like raspberries.
You do?
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Another high ORAC and high antioxidant and anthocyanin rich berry. And guess what? Black raspberries are very high in they're very high. They have very high ORAC value, so they have so they're really high in antioxidant capability. That's black raspberries. Black raspberries can be hard to find. They don't generally sell them in the grocery store.
No, they're more of a wild thing, aren't they?
They, yeah, generally, and we have some on our yeah. on power lines.
Yeah.
There's a few. They're harder to find. You can find wild raspberries, and you can find wild black raspberries, and they're not the same as blackberries. They're a different plant.
They look okay.
Like, yeah, they look like raspberries.
Yeah.
But they're definitely.
Yeah, I wonder what they were. We had huge bushes next to our farm where I grew up.
You sure they're black raspberries, not blackberries?
I don't know. Oh. That's a good question.
Yeah.
How do you tell the difference between a blackberry and a black raspberry?
I have to tell you over the air. Well, I'll try.
If you don't want to, that's okay.
If you have a blackberry, first of all, blackberries tend to be, well, it depends. If they're wild, this may not be true. I was going to say blackberries tend to be bigger than raspberries. In the grocery store, they certainly are. But wild blackberries, let's see. How shall we say this? The little nubs on the blackberry tend to pooch out. So if you were to hold a blackberry in your hand, it's going to feel knobby because the knobs on it tend to pooch out. Whereas a raspberry, the surface of a raspberry is smooth. Those little pockets on the raspberry, they tend to be smooth. So if a raspberry is black versus red, it'll look the same. They'll look the same as each other. They tend to be little and oval-shaped. When you pull them off, there's a good-sized depression inside the raspberry. The raspberry will look hollowed out when you pull it off the plant. A blackberry, when you pull it off, it pulls off at the stem, so it doesn't look hollowed off when you pull it off. It's a difference in how they grow on the flower. But if a berry is black and it's smooth and you pull it off the plant and it has a hollowed out bit, that's a raspberry. And black raspberries are super high in anthocyanins. They're really good. So raspberries too contain ellagic acid, which is it's a great anti-cancer compound. So if you eat lots of berries, you're going to get ellagic acid as well as pomegranates and their juices as well. And that ellagic acid inhibits all kinds of cancers. It's really good. So eating berries regularly is a really good idea. And also you're going to get more bioavailability of these phytochemicals if you actually eat the berry versus take supplements. So that's really neat too. So raspberries have anthocyanins, just like we said in the blueberries. They have that ellagic acid as well. They have a really high ORAC value. They've got salicylic acid, quercetin, and catechins. Very similar to blueberries. Anti-cancer, they have antioxidants, they have quercetin, so they're going to help you with your allergies too. And they're also, they have that salicylic acid thing where they're going to block your COX-1 and COX-2 enzymes, which are inflammatory enzymes. And that it's more beneficial to eat the fruit than it is to take the supplement. Now they're using red raspberry oil for cosmetics. And, you know, raspberry oil has vitamin E and omega-3 fatty acids in it. And then, of course, there's the whole raspberry ketone thing. The ketones are used as a weight loss supplement. But again, if you eat the raspberries, you're going to get raspberry ketones too. So you can get raspberry ketones in supplement form. They might help you with your weight loss, but it's a good idea to just eat raspberries and eat a sensible diet and, get some exercise. So that's the raspberry. Now, blackberries. Blackberries have been studied. They're a food that's worth remembering. So blackberries grow on brambles, but kind of raspberries kind of do too.
Yeah, they do too, I would think.
Yeah, they kind of do. Mm-hmm. So blackberries have those things, that those little bits, that are the little poochy bits, they're called drupelets. And a blackberry is going to have little drupelets on it, and they kind of stick out. And each berry, each little drupelet has a little pulp and a single seed, and is like about 3 to 4 centimeters long. They can be sweet and a little bit tart too. And they have a lot of nutrients in them. They have both soluble and insoluble fiber. They have vitamins E, A, E, K, and B. They also have lutein, zeaxanthin, which is going to make them really good for your eyes. So if you just want to protect your eyes, or if you already have been diagnosed with glaucoma or macular degeneration, lutein and zeaxanthin is going to be helpful for you. Guess what else they have in them?
I don't know what.
Ellagic acid.
Oh,
yeah. All the berries have ellagic acid. Really good. So they're going to do some great anti-cancer things. Hmm. So eating berries all the time is a really good idea. So there's been studies on blackberries. There was a study that showed that blackberries have beneficial effects on your brains. In the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry, the high antioxidant levels in blackberries, strawberries, and other berries may help prevent age-related memory loss. Berry fruits in general change the way neurons in the brain communicate, and they change signaling. The changes in signaling can prevent inflammation in the brain that contributes to neuronal damage and improve motor and motor control and cognition. So they're really good for you. So here's an old Irish proverb. It says, on Michaelmas Day, the devil puts his foot on blackberries. And according to British and Irish superstition, old Michaelmas Day, which was the Feast of St. Michael, is on October 10th. And it's the last day when blackberries should be harvested. That was the day that Lucifer was supposedly banished from heaven. And upon falling from the skies, landed on a thorny blackberry bush. He cursed and spat on the fruits, then scorched him with fiery breath, making them unfit for human consumption. Now, that wasn't very nice.
No.
Yeah, but we still eat them. I don't understand. Oh, I guess because it's after St. Michaelmas Day. You're not supposed to eat them.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's blackberries. Blackberries are good for you, too. All right. And then goji berries.
Oh, you will love your goji berries.
I love goji berries. Mm. They're fun. Goji berries, I've only had them dried.
They're red.
Yeah, they're red. They've been used in traditional Chinese medicine for 2,000 years, and they were eaten in the Himalayan mountains and steeped in hot water to help with meditation, for health, vitality, longevity. Guess what? They're really high in antioxidants. So they help you fight disease, manage your weight, improve your digestion. Usually they're eaten raw, dried, or in liquid or powder form. And again, lots of phytonutrients. They're also known as wolfberry. In China, they call them wolfberry, in Chinese, no doubt. And they were mentioned in an ancient Chinese book detailing medicinal and agricultural knowledge. The scientific name is Lycium barbarum, and they generate feelings of well-being. So your nerves and psychology are supported. They help with gastrointestinal health and bowel function, muscles. They're kind of like a panacea. Again, probably because they're really high in antioxidants. They can also help treat diabetes. They help with your blood pressure. They help with depression. Maybe that's why I like them, because they make you happy. So they have all kinds of good stuff in them. There's a lot of, and they also happen to be solanaceae. They are in the same family as tomatoes and peppers and eggplants and potatoes. And so that's kind of interesting. So if you have problems with solanaceae, if you have problems with tomatoes and peppers, and like if you avoid nightshade family, they're in the nightshade family. So if you have nightshade problems, you may not want to eat them. But if you don't, or, you may have problems with potatoes and tomatoes, but you may not have problems with goji berries. Goji berries have a lot of seeds in them. When you open them, like when you chomp on them inside, there's a bunch of seeds. They have, a really high ORAC score, and blueberries, okay, so they're less than blueberries, but they're more than, say, an apple or raisins, and they're a little bit less than pomegranate seeds, I should say. They're all good sources of antioxidants, but goji berries also has amino acids, fatty acids, and specific antioxidants. That's because when you bite into a goji berry, like I said, there's seeds inside. There's like more seeds inside. And they're really tiny seeds. So it's rare for a fruit to provide amino acids, but this one does. And, you know, they're really convenient. They do have vitamin C in them. They fight free radical damage because of the quantity of antioxidants. They have zinc and vitamin B2. They have, ounce for ounce, they have more beta carotene than carrots, and more iron than soybeans and spinach. So they can help with iron deficiency. They help with immune function and to fight cancer. So that probably means that they have the apoptotic ability like the other berries that we talked about. Fights tumor growth, decreases inflammatory cytokines. They're really pretty impressive. They promote healthy skin, once again, because they're antioxidants, so they're going to prevent free radical damage to your skin. They have beta carotene in them. There was a study done by the Faculty of Veterinary Science at the University of Sydney, which would be in Australia. They had animals drink a 5% goji juice, and it gave antioxidant activity that gave a lot of protection against skin disorders and protection against, so if you do goji berries in the summer, it might help you to protect you from sun damage. They also help to protect your eyes. So they are another fruit that will help you with age-related macular degeneration. They also have lutein zeaxanthin in them, the last berries we talked about. So again, they're another thing you can add to your to things you eat if you have been diagnosed with glaucoma or with macular degeneration. There's kind of a theme here, wouldn't you say?
Mm.
They help you with your blood
like
sugar.
Like berries are really good for you.
Yeah, berries are good for you. They help to stabilize your blood sugar. They are good for liver detox. So in Chinese medicine, they use goji berries along with other liver tonics, so they can be helpful for liver cleanses and help the liver to function more efficiently. They help with energy and mood. If you drink goji berry juice regularly, it can help your energy levels. So that's really interesting. And they also apparently boost fertility. That's interesting. Probably because of the antioxidants, they make it so that you can produce more and healthier cells, that they can increase sperm counts. So if you're having fertility issues, that could be something, if you're a man and you're having fertility issues, that's something it's something easy to add to your diet that might be helpful. So really interesting. So goji berries, generally, when you get them, you can get them at most health food stores. You can certainly order them online. I really like them. I will use them instead of raisins because raisins tend to be a bit higher in sugar. And I think that overall, you get more bang for your buck with goji berries than you do with raisins. And so they don't taste exactly the same as raisins. So how I like to describe them is they taste somewhat sweet and they have a little bit of a woody note. So I invite you to try them to see what you think of them. I don't find them to be bitter at all. They're kind of on the sweet side. You can throw them into anything. I've been making those yoga parfaits and I put goji berries in them. And if you're eating oatmeal in the morning, they're certainly a great addition to your oatmeal. If you're making a trail mix, or if you have a trail mix already and doesn't have goji berries in it, you can throw goji berries in. Because they're dry, they keep nicely, so they're a good snack to have, you know, something to carry in your car. Or like I said, if you're on the trail, they help you with your energy, so they're a great addition to trail mix. If you're making an energy bar of some kind, it's a great addition to that. So if you're doing a bar and you're including oats and chia seeds and flax seeds, certainly goji berries would be a great thing to go right along with that. I like to keep them in the house, and I like to snack on them regularly. I also like to, like I said, I love to put them in yogurt and put them on top of yogurt, parfaits and stuff. It's one of my go-tos. It's one of those things that, all right, we're running low on goji berries. I need more goji berries. And you can get them in bulk at a lot of health food stores. Like I said, you can order them online, and they will also be ingredients in other nice foods. So, yeah, have fun with the goji berries. The other thing is if you soak them, they will puff up, and then they'll be nice and chewy. So you definitely can do that. So if you do that in, if you put it in oatmeal or if you put it in yogurt and then you let it sit, then they're going to puff up and they'll rehydrate, and they're tasty that way. They're really nice. That'll bring out the sweet flavors in the goji berries.
Fran loves her goji berries.
I like goji berries.
You
they're,
do.
They're good things.
You
yes.
do. Sometimes
they're
I put them awesome. On your salads, but sometimes you don't want berries on your salads.
No,
so I never know.
Only want, yeah, berries on salads. You have to, well, you can't just throw them in randomly. You have to do it with thought. because I feel like they only go with certain kinds of cheeses. I like goji berries to go with a sweeter cheese. I think they're wonderful with goat cheese, and they're pretty good with feta cheese. I wouldn't just generally throw them in with a cheddar or something that's more savory, that because they have sweet notes to them. So if you're doing a berry salad, when I was in Florida, my mother took me out to a wonderful place for lunch, and I had a fabulous salad, and it was basically a green salad that they dumped a whole bunch of berries on.
Nice.
And it was basically greens, blackberries, strawberries, blueberries.
Wow.
And then caramelized pecans, and then I had blackened whitefish on top of that.
Sounds nice.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was so good. So, like, goji berries would go on that. That
yeah.
would be fine. So
yeah, that's why I don't bury your salads unless I make your salad up to a point, and then I let you address it from that
yeah
point.
Well, if you're doing a sweeter cheese on the salad, that's when you do berries. Like, you could do a salad, for example, if you're doing leafy greens but then you're dressing it with goat cheese, then you can do sweeter things on the salad, like you could pecans as your nut, and then you could do cocoa nibs, and then you could do fruit, you could do goji berries or raspberries, and then do balsamic vinegar or sweeter vinegar. That's a great salad. So it all depends on how you're and what cheese you've got going on. But if you're doing smoked Gouda, I like more savory stuff on there.
Mm.
So yeah, like you were going crazy. You were putting like apples and berries and all kinds of stuff, and all of a sudden I'm eating a fruit salad. But it was clashing with the more savory cheeses. So I wasn't as excited about that.
I like that in my salad, but that's okay.
That's
we're
okay.
all, you know, that's why we, I like I said, I make your salad to a certain level, and then I let you take it from there.
Totally, totally fine. But again, I'm not going to be throwing fruit on it if you have a savory cheese on there. So
okay.
Anyway, why are cherries good for you? Let's go to cherries, and then I think next week we're going to be getting up to seeds. So cherries are starting to come in. I saw some cherries in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I mean, there's not a lot of them, but they'll be coming in soon. And I remember one day after a long hot bike ride, I sat down in my living room with a bowl of cherries, and they were just so good. And I really understood when somebody's happy, why they say life is like a bowl of cherries.
Yes, you were contemplating life while eating them, right?
While eating cherries,
right.
Yes. The nice black Bing cherries. So they're really popular.
You know what else they're really good for?
They're what?
Great pocket food when you're riding your bike.
Right, yes, because you put them in your food, and they have a nice, they're easy to eat. You do have to spit out the seeds, but that can be fun.
But that's fun.
Yeah,
that's a good
sure.
thing.
Right, because they have a nice skin that mostly stays intact. But not necessarily. Sometimes they break and then you stain your jersey, unfortunately, if you're putting them in loose. Grapes are good for that, too. They're good pocket food. But cherries are, again, terrific antioxidants. Intake of cherries is known for the prevention of cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, inflammatory disease, Alzheimer's disease. Again, they're going to have a lot of those. They have proanthocyanins in them as well. They fight free radical damage, protect your cells. They help to remove excess body fat. Again, they're probably, again, similar mechanisms. They have catechins in them, and the catechins help with fat loss. They increase melatonin. So if you're eating fruit and if you want to eat fruit as part of your fat loss plan, berries are a good thing to eat, because not only are they lower in sugar than other more tropical fruits, they actually have properties in them that help with fat loss. So So there are two well-known types of cherries, the one that's the sweet or wild cherry, and those derived from Prunus cerasus, which is the sour cherry. And they have, flower clusters and smooth fruit. And they tend to be, you have to take good care of them when you're growing them. They are really high in anthocyanins, quercetin, like we said again previously, hydroxycinnamates, hydroxycinnamates help to prevent you from sunburn. Hydroxycinnamates are often an ingredient in sunscreen. They have potassium, carotenoids, and they also have melatonin, which means they can help you with sleep. They are high in fiber and vitamin C. They have a lower glycemic index. And they have a lower glycemic index even than blueberries, but also apricots, grapes, and peaches, because they're similar to a berry in that when we tell you we want you to eat more foods that will help you with fat loss, we talk about berries and cherries. And berries and cherries really do have lower glycemic index. They have those catechins that can help you with fat loss, and they have the fiber. And they help you, you know, if you're getting a lot of exercise to help you with your fat loss goals, then as you're breaking down and building up muscle mass, the antioxidants are going to help you with repair and rebuilding. So they have lots of different nutrients in them. As we said, there was a journal in 2009 in the Journal of Medical Food. They gave tart cherry powder in a high-fat diet to rats. And the rats that had the tart cherry powder didn't gain as much weight, and they had lower levels of inflammation. And so if you do cherry, that they can help you with that as well. So I don't know, doing berries and cherries every day, if you're trying to lose weight, it's a good thing to do. I happen to love them. I really love berries and cherries. So that's not hard for me at all. And I like berry and cherry flavored things. I know you're not as excited about them, but when we go to the gluten-free bakery, I like to get the berry tarts as one of the things I get. And I think they're delicious. And I like to make berry crisps. So they're really wonderful. Tart cherries help to provide cardiovascular benefit and reduce your risk of stroke. And they activate PPAR isoforms. Those are peroxisome proliferative activating receptors. They regulate genes that are involved in fat and sugar metabolism. And then when they modify, they help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. So there's some very specific scientific ways in which cherries boost your cardiovascular health. Like we said, they're super high in antioxidants. They're high in anthocyanins and cyanidins. So they're going to help to inhibit tumor development. They help with macular degeneration, just like the other berries we talked about. They're specifically known to help to treat gout. Excess uric acid gets stuck in the particularly in the big toe. When you have high uric acid, of course, you could get uric acid stuck in other parts of the body. But when people consume cherry extract, there was a study in arthritis and rheumatism that showed people had a 35% lower risk of gout attacks. So when I have patients with gout, I do encourage them to eat cherries, drink cherry juice, and I give them cherry extract if they'll take it. So helps to reduce inflammation in sports medicine. It reduced pain after races. Cherry juice reduced pain and inflammation. I know you used to do that after bike rides. They're high in potassium, so they're going to help you with your blood pressure. They're going to help to prevent muscle cramps. They'll treat your osteoarthritis because, again, it's reducing your inflammation. Both tart cherry and Bing cherry will help with that, and they also help with your sleep cycle. There's melatonin in cherries as well. So anything with melatonin is going to help to an extent. So cherries can be helpful. So you might want to have cherries in your dessert at night or cherries as a treat in the evening. It's been eaten since prehistoric times. So there's lots of different ways you can eat them. You can eat them in salads. You can eat them plain. You can eat jam. You can eat desserts. So they're really nice. I'm really into them. So that was a really good survey of a lot of different nice high antioxidants foods. So if you're looking to lose fat, berries and cherries can really be a great way to go. And there's very specific scientific reasons why that works. So thank you so much for listening to Radio Naturopath. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath. This is a call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. I have been with my co-host, Ron Manizza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. Remember to eat your veggies. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.